So last week we finished up 1 Peter, finally, and it took us a little while, and I think it was a good time. I enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it. Naturally, we should be now going into 2 Peter, but we're not. We're going to take a break just momentarily for at least about a month. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a break between now and middle of July. And so in that time, the question then is, well, what are we going to be doing? And, well, this morning in particular, I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about VBS, Vacation Bible School. And we're going to talk about that. And then over the course of the next few weeks, in between now and VBS, what we're actually going to do is we're going to take some time and we're going to look at the stories that the kids will be looking at during VBS, but we're going to look at them in big kid Vacation Bible School, okay? Because let's face it, it's not like we have certain stories in the Bible that are only for little kids, right? There's definitely something there for us too. So we're going to do that over the next month. But this morning, what we're going to do is we are going to take a look at VBS, and ultimately, I want to impart with you the vision of VBS and why it is that we do it. In fact, these are the three things that we'll be talking about this morning. So why we're doing it. Why is it that we do VBS? Why is it there's so much that goes into it? Who we're doing it for? It might surprise you because it's the easy answer is, oh, we do it for the kids, but there's much, much more than that going on. And then what we're actually going to be doing. I say VBS, I say Vacation Bible School, and there might even be a few people here who are like, I don't even know what that is. By the end of this morning, not only will you know what it is, but I have a feeling a few of you might be asking the question, how do I get in? How do I get to be a part of that? And so, with that in mind, let's pray. Father God, again, we thank you so much for this morning. And we do thank you so much for the opportunities, Lord, that you give us to, Lord, to plant those seeds. And Father, whether it be all the way around the world in Australia or, Lord, in our backyard, that, Father God, that we pray that you would use us in these ways, that, Lord, we would be able to plant the seed of your word, and that, Father, if it even be your will, to see that seed sprout, grow, and be harvested, Lord. Father, we just ask you, Lord, that as we do prepare ourselves as a church, as a family, for VBS, that, Father, that you would be preparing us and how to minister to those that, Lord, that you will give us. And that, Father God, we do thank you so much for this time. Again, we ask that that this morning would be a morning that we see what it is that you're doing this summer here at Sio Baptist. We pray that in your son's name. Amen. And so, as what I said, what we're doing is we're going to be looking at VBS over the next couple of weeks. I'm going to take, you know, one of the stories, because during VBS they have Bible story time, and so we're going to take one of those stories, and then we're going to talk about that for our Sunday morning message. And so, my hope is that in doing that, especially for you parents or grandparents, when little Jimmy or little Susie comes home and asks you the big theological questions based on their VBS morning, you might have an answer for them. I hope. If nonetheless, it's for everybody just to kind of grasp that VBS is something much more than just some goofy little time that we spend with the kids, that there is some serious teaching going on during VBS. Here's the deal. I love VBS, and I can't tell you specifically why I love VBS as much as I do, because when it comes down to it, children's ministry, it eludes me. The shorter they are, the cuter they are, the more I don't know how to talk to them, it seems. It's just, there's something about it, but yet VBS, it changes everything for me. I love VBS. Now, when I first started into ministry, my first experience with VBS, and actually I shouldn't say started into ministry, it kind of depends on how you look at it. I mean, I had just come to know Christ. And so the very next summer, my church says, well, we do VBS. Mike, why don't you do a VBS? You know, do VBS with us. Okay, I'll do that. I'm a high school student, had no clue. I didn't even know what VBS meant. Okay, that's why I made sure you guys know Vacation Bible School. And so they said, okay, you're going to do this. I'm like, great. And you're going to partner up with this other girl. She was another high school student. Her name was Anna. And so the two of us, we're going to be partners in this. We had no idea what we're getting into. We show up on Monday morning at about 8 a.m. And we said, okay, what do we do? And no joke, this is how it happened. They showed us a room. Okay, a room that was no bigger than most of our Sunday school rooms here. And there was about 30 kids in that room. And they said, they're yours. Have at it. See you at noon. Oh, no, what am I supposed to do with them? Teach them something. What? whatever. Okay, and it's like, you know, you don't tell, you know, a high school student who just came to know Christ, teach them whatever. You know, okay, guys, open up to Revelation. No, it was a weird thing. And so we had these kids, and the first day was just chaos. I had no clue what to do. I turned to Anna, because Anna had been in church longer than I had. I said, Anna, what do we do? And she says, you're older. And it was just crazy. And yet, you know what, we had a blast with them. And eventually we kind of got into, you know, I called my Sunday school teacher. I said, help. And he gave me a couple of different stories. He said, share these stories and do that. And so we did that. And, you know, we shared some stories and we played some games. And then, you know, we had pipe cleaners, so therefore we had crafts. And that was VBS. To be honest, it honestly felt like I was just thrown into the lion's den, for what it's worth, though. I had no idea what was going on. And to be honest, there was even a part of me that said, I'm not sure what this whole thing is even supposed to be producing. There was no real vision for the VBS. It was just a matter of, well, we got to have something for the kids during the summer. And that's kind of what it was. But yet, I knew there was something more there. In fact, what it ended up leading me to is I did the VBS the next year, very similar, although far more prepared. But then I went off to Tadmore for the summer. And at Tadmore, I learned there's ways to structure things, and there are important things to do that make sure that get done. And I also learned that the little kids, they're a blast to have around, whether it's for a few hours or for 24 hours, you know, 7 days. But I learned that there's something special about working with children. Now, it wasn't until my first full-time church, that was down in Langlois as a youth pastor, that I really learned the power of VBS. And it was because of a lady named Bonnie Everest. And Bonnie Everest was an incredible woman. She still is. She's not gone. But Bonnie, let me say it this way. I love seeing somebody who not only is gifted, but I love seeing that person using their gifts. And that's Bonnie. Bonnie loves little kids. And so she had a heart for children's ministry. She had a heart for VBS. And she introduced me to what is known as Group VBS. Group is a publishing company. And there's a lot of great publishing companies out there. But in this particular case, suddenly we learned within VBS that you could have order, you could have a system, and you can have a whole lot of fun doing it. In fact, what we learned was that by doing it the way that it was done, you have an actual opportunity not just to entertain children, but to invest in the children, to build relationships with those children. And so this morning when I say, why do we do VBS? It's because of the children. It truly is about the children. It does go beyond the children. But it comes to this point, it's not about entertaining. It's not about just wasting some time and getting by, but it's actually taking those kids and exposing them to who Jesus really is. And as my sermon title is God is Wild About You, that's kind of the arcing theme to the VBS this year, that this is where you'll find out that God is wild about you. And to introduce that to these little kids, that the creator of the universe loves them just as much as he loves mom and dad, and just as much as he loves all the older people who go to church all the time, and all those kind of things, that he loves those little ones. In fact, that's where I actually want to start with this morning, is in Matthew. And then this is a moment in the Gospels that many of you have heard this little moment here. It says, then the children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked the people. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them, and then he went away. Now, what's interesting about this little passage here that we're going to be talking about is we see Jesus' interaction with the kids, but there's something important going on here. Like I said, most everybody's probably heard this, you know, that moment where Jesus says, let the children come to me, and we think this nice little sweet moment in Jesus, but there's a lot going on. First off, I want to make sure you understand, this story shows up in 3 out of 4 Gospels. Now, while there is a symphony and a harmony within the Gospels, most stories show up maybe in 2 Gospels. okay? Because they're coming from different perspectives. And so from the writers and the listeners, what they've composed is they've taken the things that are most important to them. Those are the things that show up in the Gospels. The Gospels are a beautiful thing that what happens is that you kind of lay them over the top of one another, and you see this beautiful picture. And you have to read all four Gospels to get that picture. So many people make the mistake of just reading one. Okay, don't do that. Read all four. And there's this moment, though, where you see this story. It shows up three times. And the question is, why does it show up three times? Well, it must resonate with somebody. It must mean something to somebody. And so this is where I want you to get the picture from. Jesus is doing his thing. He's teaching, he's preaching, however way you want to look at it. He's sitting there and he's discussing stuff, and the crowds are gathering. And as the crowds gather, here's what will typically probably happen is that you've got a lot of sinners there, okay? Jesus would be good here because there's a lot of them here, and sinners, that is. That's you, that's me. And so he's got these guys gathering together. He's got people who want to hear what he has to say. And somewhere in that crowd, probably this is what would happen, is the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they'd see that crowd. They get a little jealous at times. They see that crowd. They say, wait a minute, those people should be listening to me, not him. And so they want to make sure that they're seen, they're noticed. They probably will work their way up to the front. A lot of times when we read the stories about Jesus teaching, somewhere there's a Pharisee and a Sadducee sitting somewhere. Okay? And so they'll make their way up to the front because that's where the important people go. And so there they are. And so you can imagine now this crowd, if you will. Here's Jesus. Here's the important people right here. Here's everybody else who Jesus is actually trying to talk to. And then out of nowhere, somebody has the audacity to bring a child through the crowd up to Jesus. Not just one. It says they were bringing the children. And then something horrible happens. The disciples, Jesus' own guys, they all of a sudden become bouncers. They become bodyguards. And they're like, no. The rabbi doesn't have time for these little kids. Move along. There's too many important people here. There's too many people who need to leave Jesus alone. And the disciples, Peter, John, James, all those guys, move along. Scooting those kids away. And Jesus' response to it, he says, whoa, stop. Let the children come to me. It's not even, hey, let those parents bring those kids. Just let the kids come. And you can imagine those kids just swarming Jesus at that moment. There's an incredible thing here. You know, it's funny. As a pastor, there have been times where the little ones will come up and the parents are a little embarrassed. They're like, oh, no, don't bother Mike. Don't bother Mike right now. Uh-uh. You know, my greatest prize, my greatest treasure, my greatest, the thing that I love to hold on to the most, honestly. Please take what I'm saying here. I love all of you, and I don't mind, honestly, I don't mind hugging you, but I'll tell you what, there's nothing like a little kid who comes out of nowhere and just gives you a big old hug. There's nothing quite like walking through the school grounds and hear somebody say, hey, Pastor Mike, as loud as they possibly can. I got to be honest, I love every moment of that. Jesus loves kids. Do you know that? I mean, do you know that this morning that he loves kids and he has time for them? What's interesting, I think, in this story is that we actually have a lot of parallels that are happening throughout the Gospels, moments that are very similar to this, where somebody has decided that Jesus' time is way too important for somebody else. And just off the top of my head, things that I can remember, I think of the time Jesus is walking through the crowd and all of a sudden he stops. He says, wait, somebody touched me. Who touched me? And you can almost imagine that'd be kind of a weird moment, right? I mean, Jesus just walked, whoa. And it's like, who touched me? Who's the one who did that? And you can imagine the person who did it almost feeling like they just got in trouble. Well, it turns out that it's just this older woman. She's sick. And she had the faith that she knew that if she could just touch the tassels, just the tassels of his prayer shawl, she'd be healed. And he comes to her and he tells her, your faith has healed you. You know, he stops everybody who cares who's around him at that moment? He wants to know who needs him at that moment. And he takes her and he tells her she's healed. Or what about the lame guy and his friends, and they can't get into the house? There's no room to get into the house because all the important people are in there and everybody's crowded in there. We know the Pharisees and the Sadducees are in there and they're all crammed in there, and these guys can't get to Jesus. Apparently, he's just not worthy of getting to Jesus. Well, that didn't stop his friends. So they dug a hole through the ceiling, lowered him in. Jesus heals him. And it's even at that moment, those important people, they start thinking in their hearts, it says, who is this Jesus? Who does he think he is? And Jesus says, would it be easier just for me to say, you're healed? Okay, you're healed. I mean, the guy's already, it's already done, but he's like, okay, for your sake, he's healed. But see, there's these moments where we see Jesus over and over again where there is a large crowd. There's always a crowd gathering around him. And somewhere in that process, the disciples suddenly decided, oh, we got to do some crowd management here. We can't let everybody get to Jesus. So we'll have to try to figure out who should get to Jesus, who shouldn't. Children, no, it's just not enough time for you. It's time for you to move along. I think that's true in our lives. I think there are some of us who, there are moments we know we need to get to Jesus. But somewhere we've convinced ourselves that we're not important enough. We're not worthy, or maybe you've even been told that. Have you ever walked into a church dressed perhaps a little bit less than what most other people might be, and somebody saying, looking at you going, really? You just walked into the house of God this way? Yeah, I'm pretty sure the lame guy coming through the ceiling, he wasn't too worried about what he was wearing at the moment. I mean, he was coming through a ceiling. Come on. But we think, oh, no, you're not worthy of that time with Jesus. Uh-uh. And even we see these important figures, and when they show up, it's almost they show up and they expect Jesus to respect them rather than them respecting their time with Jesus. Plus, it looks good to be seen with Jesus as far as those important people go. But anyways, we come back to this story, we come to this moment, and Jesus rebukes his own disciples, his very own, and he rebukes them quite harshly. And maybe we can start even asking the question, why was he so harsh with them? And perhaps it was because he didn't want them to become like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders. And he wants them to understand that he's there for everyone, not just those who deem themselves worthy or important enough for that. But I think there's something more going on. In fact, the reason I chose the passage, even though this shows up in three of the Gospels, why I chose Matthew, we're going to go back in Matthew. In verse 1, it says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them. He said, truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little children who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Did I mention that Jesus loves children? So just before that rebuking that we see, when their disciples are sending the disciples away, just briefly before all this, we have another child moment with Jesus. And you have the disciples who are being quite childish, but not in a good way. They're bickering back and forth. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? You probably, if you have siblings, you may have had that same argument once or twice or this morning. And you have this moment, and it's so odd that they're arguing, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? And Jesus says, stop. Just stop. And he looks over, he sees a kid. Come here. Come here. And you can imagine this kid's probably embarrassed. Big old red face. And Jesus says, do you see this little guy? That's the greatest. Why? Because this little guy has faith. This guy just simply knows. He just believes. He's not worried about position at this point. That's the bummer about growing up. We start thinking about position. And he says, this is what you're supposed to be like. This little guy, this is what it's what it's all about. Not worry about things that are so huge, so great, so big. Don't concern yourself with those things. In fact, it goes along with my favorite psalm, Psalm 131. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord both now and forevermore. But like this weaned child, like this child that's just going to crawl up in the lap of mom or dad, grandma, grandpa, and just have faith in knowing that those arms that they're in are safe, secure, true. And so we go back and forth. So just we have this moment. They're sending these kids away. But just before that, Jesus pulls this kid aside and says, do you understand how important this child is? Do you understand how important this child is to me? In fact, so important, he gives them a death threat. So anyone causes one of these to sin, there's a millstone for you. And there's a long walk and a short pier. Children are important to Jesus. Children need to be important to us. Here, this is why we do VBS. I know some of you are expecting that to be the who we do VBS for, but this is why we do VBS, because children are important to Jesus. And we need to grab a hold of that. This is why we do it. So why VBS? Again, VBS teaches strong foundations. We teach basic Bible stories that the kids grow up on. Understand, I did not grow up in the church. I didn't start going to church. My first VBS was as a leader, not as a student. I should have been one of the kids, to be quite frank. I didn't grow up with the stories. I get to Multnomah, and all these guys are just bored with these classes because it's all the same old, oh, we know all this. And I'm like, I don't. Would you just be quiet? Let me hear. My favorite class of all time will always be, never to be surpassed, was I spent an entire semester going over the book of Jonah. And I love that book so much. All these other guys like, yeah, big fish. Guy didn't listen, whatever. I'm like, no, dude, the guy's in a fish. And I was just like, I was like a little kid going, that is huge. And it was so incredible. We have the opportunity to raise up this foundation with these kids, that they grow up in these and hopefully not get bored with these stories. The reality is many things that we believe about God actually have come from our childhood. There's some really strange ideas that kids have when it comes to God. And it's not because they were taught necessarily out of the Bible. You ask a kid to describe God, and you get all sorts of different descriptions. Some kids, especially non-church-going kids, but any kids, they kind of envision God as being that old man who's yelling at them to get off their lawn. Okay, that's God. Okay, or maybe he's more the grandfatherly type that is just always taking a nap. At least we're hoping he's napping. Yeah, you know. Maybe he's more like a vending machine or even an ATM. You just punch in what you want and you get it. That's God. Maybe God's more like Santa Claus. You just better be good because he's watching. The worst one is there are a lot of kids out there who just simply don't believe God's real. Where did all that come from? Where did that idea come from? The reality is this, is if we're not teaching the truth from the truth, where are they going to learn it from? Interestingly enough, in this story where Jesus rebukes his disciples for rebuking the children, right after that, there's another moment, another young man comes into the scene. And interestingly enough, again, with all the Gospels, this story appears. And so this young man comes up, and he says to him, teacher, what must I do to get eternal life? And Jesus simply turns to him and says, well, obey the commandments. Been there, done that. I've got that part covered. What else? Oh, in that case, give away everything, because this guy was rich. He was obviously known to be rich. Give away everything and just follow me. Quit holding on to all the things you think are so worthwhile and follow me. And this young guy just walks away sad. He can't do it. Jesus is saying, bring the children to me so they can be taught right. Because see that young man? He wasn't taught right. He was taught there's a law, and you follow that law. And if you can't follow the law, then there's really not much more hope for you. Jesus is saying, I've got something so much bigger than the law. It complements the law in so many ways. I've got grace. And so bring these children so that they don't grow up to be like that guy. That's what's happening there in this gospel. I think that's interesting because I guess the question would be, what's the foundation of that young rich man? Where was he taught? I don't think he went to Bible school. I don't think he went to vacation Bible school. Now, I know there are some people here that you're saying, well, I know this whole VBS thing. VBS is just games and crafts. It's kind of like summer camp, except for the kids go home each night. And I want you to understand it's more than that, or at least it should be and it can be. I know that there are, in some cases, churches that might be guilty of that, where it's a babysitting service. But it doesn't need to stay there. It doesn't need to stop there. This leads us to the who we do it for. Sure, it can be done. We can say we do it for the kids, and we do. That's the heart of it. But we do it also for the parents. We do it also for the community around us. It becomes a very encouraging beacon kind of thing that happens when we see the church doing good things. The reality is this. We do know that kids are going to get dropped off, okay? We know that some people will treat this VBS like it's free daycare, so they'll just drop their kids off and take off. I know this will happen. We know this. We accept this, and here's the kicker to it for me personally. I look forward to it. Because in what other ministry, honestly, what other ministry outside of maybe summer camp do you honestly have your ministry showing up to your door, knocking on your door, saying, share stories about Jesus with me? It's very few and far between moments. And here, that's exactly what's happening with VBS. There will also be kids who will show up, and, you know, they know everything about the Bible. They know it all. Some of you have been in Awana. You had some of those kids. I'm not naming any kids like mine, you know, that you're just like, okay, I got a Bible question, and it's that, you know, you got Jimmy or Mickey. And it's like, boom, hands always up, and you're just looking, please, somebody else answer. And you're going at it, but you've got these kids, they do know. They know so much. And why? Because, well, they've been given that foundation. They have parents that are doing well in giving that foundation. These kids, they come knowing a lot of stuff, but here's the beauty of it, then they get to know a little bit more. But even better than that, we always talk about ironing, sharpening iron. And usually that's related to like men's ministry, right? You know, men getting together and sharpening one another. And I want you to understand that little kids are iron. And you bring in this kid who knows a lot, and you bring in this kid who knows nothing, there's an opportunity for them to say, wow, you're pretty excited about this. I want to be excited about this. I want to know more. There's an ironing, sharpening, ironing moment. Maybe it's not a butcher knife, but it's a paring knife. But nonetheless, there's some sharpening going on. And yeah, we do it for the parents. We do it for the parents, and maybe there are some parents. And it's one of the reasons why I love doing VBS like in the middle of the summer rather than the very first part of the summer or even the end of the summer. But you do it right in the middle because there's some parents who, quite frankly, they're at a point where they're going, wow, is summer over yet? They're just like, they're exhausted. And so the parent needs a legitimate break, and we can provide that. But there's something amazing that happens at VBS, especially with the parents. And I don't know how many times I've seen this happen, but I've seen it happen over and over again. You get the parent who comes in, mom comes in, right? She drops off the kids, and she heads off to the coffee shop, or she heads off to someplace where she can read a book or take a nap. She's got a window of about 3 hours, and she's going to use every single minute of it, okay? That's Monday. Tuesday rolls around. Parent drops off the kids, but they stick around for the opening show. I mean, the kids keep talking about all this crazy stuff that was going on. What's going on? So they stick around for the opening show, and then they go, okay. And then they go off to find their coffee. Wednesday rolls around, and they actually stick around for the whole thing. They're kind of watching from a distance, but they're kind of just, what's this Bible story? What's this lesson over here? What are they making in the craft place? And they're kind of watching. Thursday rolls around, they drop the kids off, and they strike up a conversation with one of the staff that are just kind of standing around at the moment, whoever they can grab a hold of. Because they've got questions that, quite frankly, they don't have the answers for. Their kids are coming home, and they're talking about Jonah and a big fish, and is that even real? Could that be possible? And they don't know how to answer. And so they're looking for some answers. Friday rolls around, and they're asking the question, what can I do? How can I be involved? I've seen parents come to know Christ because of VBS. That's the incredible thing about VBS. The who we do it for, oh yeah, it's for the kids. No, don't make no mistake about that. There is so much. The only word I can come up with, and it's such a wrong word, collateral damage. You know, it's like that it just goes so far out, and it's so cool. In the story that we see in Matthew, Jesus takes time for the kids. He stops the busyness. He stops everything that seems to be important. Whatever he's teaching on, whatever he's preaching on, can pause for a moment for the sake of these little ones. Why? Because he knows there's something more here than just little ones. He knows that these kids have families. He knows that these kids need God. He knows that these families need God. He's going to invest in these lives, in these little lives. You show me a church that loves kids, has a vibrant, key word here, supported children's program, and I will show you a church that is growing and will have their doors open for years and years to come. You show me a church that has decided that kids are too time-consuming and expensive, and I will show you a building that will be for rent in a couple years. That's the reality of it. Here's the deal. Children and youth ministries are expensive. They really are, both financially and in time. They're expensive, especially when you consider how much the little ones tithe. No, they're not a whole lot. In fact, I would say there are probably some little ones who probably are a little bit more faithful in tithing than some adults. I mean, they get a quarter in their pocket, and I got to put that in the offering. And that's a pretty cool thing when that happens. But the reality is this, though, is that you don't see a whole lot of money generated out of the children and out of the youth ministry. I'm not saying we need to be. I'm not saying that's what it's about. But you don't really see it. In fact, I've had people actually argue with me in youth ministry, as my time in youth ministry, about that very thing. That children's ministry and youth ministry is a waste of resources, a waste of time, because they don't bring anything in. And I'm like, really? They don't bring anything in? Oh, if they're not here, then I'm not here. I mean, there's something that they're bringing in. And they're bringing in something, a picture of faith, something that can't be shown with money. I know it's expensive, and speaking of expensive, that kind of leads us into what we're doing for VBS. And I want you to kind of get a picture of how things are, because I don't think that our VBS program is going to be so groundbreaking that you're going to be like, wow, I didn't see that coming. But there's a few things that Wendy and I do a little bit differently, a little bit. And we want you to understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, how we're doing it. First off, the theme this year, if you don't already know, is Pandamania. Okay, and this is a group curriculum, VBS. And so Pandamania, it's kind of like a little mini camp in a lot of ways. It is only a few hours. We're only talking about 3 hours a day for 5 days with these kids. Now, the theme, Pandamania, what's that all about? Pandas. Well, what's pandas got to do with the Bible? I don't know. They were in Noah's Ark. Yeah, so the theme is really kind of unimportant. The theme is it's the light that draws the kid in, right? I mean, even right now, in the movie theaters, you know, not that we don't have any Kung Fu going on, but you know, Kung Fu Panda in the theaters right now, Kung Fu Panda 2. And so pandas, you know, kids like pandas. I that's what I'm told. And so we're doing Pandamania. But what's really about it? It's not about the theme. The theme is just the vehicle to get the kids there. And so we have some fun with pandas. And so you're going to be seeing pandas popping up all over the place in this church over the next few weeks. You're going to be seeing pandas to the point where you're going to say, you know what? I think I know why they're extinct and they're going extinct. You know, you're just going to pandas everywhere. And that's okay. We're going to panda it up. But what's really happening with the VBS is, well, here's how it works. We set up stations. This is the beauty of this VBS. So we set up stations, and there's going to be, over here, there's going to be a Bible story time. Not over here, legitimately, somewhere in the church, Bible story time. And there's going to be this other thing called Chatter's Theater. And Chatter's Theater is this great little, it's this little video thing. They get to see this little, like, 10-minute movie. And it's kind of like, for those who remember serials, you remember serials back in the day with the movies, and you get that little movie before the big movie, and you better come back to the theater the next week. It carries over, and it's this story that builds up. Now, here's the beauty of it. You have your Bible story. With your Bible story, you have memory verses. With those going on, then you have this Chatter's Theater where they see how this applies to their life. And then they also, they're going to go on to crafts, and they're going to make some sort of craft, and then they're going to go to games, and they're going to have some fun with some games, and there's going to be snacks, which translation, sugar. And so for me personally, I say just give them the bag. You know, why make anything? Just give them the bag of sugar. I said, this is why I love VBS. This is why people don't like me loving VBS, at least parents. But no, we have all these things happening. But here's the beauty of it. Each station builds during that day. And so by the end of that day, they are fully immersed in that Bible verse, in that Bible story, that they understand not only where it is in the Bible, what it means, but how it applies to their life. Why was it important for them to hear it? And so you say, well, Mike, how do they get to these stations? And I'm so glad you asked this question, because what they need is they need somebody to take them there. It's because at each station, the Bible story time, we have a Bible story leader, one person. And we have one person doing crafts, and one person pushing the play button at Chatter's Theater, and one person who's doing the games and all these kind of things. One person. And they'll do it four times during the day. They'll do everything four times. You, on the other hand, you are the most important part of VBS crew. You're going to be given a small handful of kids, 4, 5, 6 kids. And those kids are yours. They're yours for the week. Okay? They're yours to invest and encourage. And here's the beauty of it. You get to go, you take them to the Bible story time. And you know what you get to do during Bible story time? You get to sit and listen to the Bible story with them. And they're going to ask questions. And you're going to be able to answer them. You're going to go to the crafts, and you're going to help them, and you're going to make sure Jimmy isn't eating the glue, and you're doing all this kind of stuff. And Susie decided that the craft looks much, much better on, you know, on Jimmy's back, and so she put it there. And you're going to have fun with those kids, and you're going to go out and you're going to play the games with them. I know right away. I say, okay, you're going to play the game. Oh, I don't play games. Don't worry. These are fun games, and it's good games. And you get to go out, and the whole entire time, here's what you get to do. You get to simply invest in your own little group of disciples, if you will. You get to invest in them all week long, and you encourage them, hey, you should bring a friend next week or next day. And you should bring, you know, you should let mom and dad know what you did today. And you get to encourage them, and you get to build on it because you have this little group of kids. Investment begins with involvement. And this is an opportunity that you get to do that. And it's a beautiful thing. It's an incredible thing. Anybody can do it. There are people in this room right now who are saying, ah, that's not me. I'm a guy. I'm too old. I don't like kids. And you know, and you've got this list of why you can't do it. And I want you to understand, yes, you can. I have had people who have signed up for this saying, I can't do this. And I said, yes, you can. They went in kicking and screaming, and by Friday wanted to know if we could do it next week. You can do this. You can get involved. You don't have to be the leader. You don't have to be the one in charge. All you have to do is you have this great group of little kids who are going to follow you around like a little baby ducks with their, you know, their mama. You can walk through the halls going quack, quack, waddle, waddle, and you just go on down the line. It's an incredible thing. So the next question, though, in that, well, okay, so that's great. It's beautiful. We got this stuff. We got it going on. How do we get them here? And I want you to understand, we're going to do everything we can. We're going to advertise, right? We're going to get signs up and posters and banners, and there's a few of these already made, but we're going to make some more of these. Maybe you have a yard. Now, I want you to understand, if you live on the top of Rogers Mountain, this sign is not for you, okay? But if you live around the corner, okay, if you've got kids in your neighborhood or something like that, this sign is for you. Okay, you grab one of those signs. Like I said, we got a couple now. We'll get some more later. But, you know, you plant that in your yard. Everywhere we go, you know, we want to see a panda. We want to see pandas all over the place. We want to see pandas so that when it comes down to it, when somebody says panda, they immediately think Scio Baptist. Something's going on at Scio Baptist. And so we're going to do that. But you know what? It doesn't matter how much signage we get. We can go get billboards, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is the best tool is you. You go over and you invite. You got kids in your neighborhood, so you go over and you invite them. You knock on the door and say, hey, I just want to let you know my church is doing a VBS. Love to take your kids. I'll take them if you want. You call up friends, you call up neighbors, you call up family. And you say, why don't you come out? We're going to have a good time. You're on Facebook? Put it on Facebook. Talk about how excited you are about VBS. There's a lot of different ways we can get them here. One of those other ways that we can get them here, it's the obvious. It's the clearest. It's the one that everybody is thinking. We need a water slide. You weren't, when you think panda, you don't think water slide. I naturally think water slide. Mike's on crack. What's going on here? What are you talking about? So let me explain. When we first started at Melrose, we went through VBS, and we had good numbers, but there was just something missing. And we weren't sure what was missing. We saw kids in the community not coming, and we're like, why can't we draw them in? What are we missing? What are we not doing? We need some way to get them. So the next year, I said, let's get a water slide. And they all looked at me the same way you guys did. And I said, let's get a water slide. And they're like, oh, what are you going to do with a water slide? I said, duh, slide. And I said, no, we set up this water slide. And I said, I pulled all Field of Dreams on them. I said, if we blow it up, they will come. And so that's what they said. Okay, so we bought one. We bought a cheap one to start off with. And by cheap, hold on to your wallet, $300 for a cheap one, just a single little slide. And blow up slide, blew up about 8 foot tall. And so we get this water slide. And here's what we did. This is the cruelty part. This is why Mike is not a children's minister. On Monday, I blew it up. And I brought all the kids out and said, look at the water slide. And they're like, I said, you can't touch it. And they're like, what? I said, you bring friends. And tomorrow we go down the water slide. Okay, and so we started out with our normal numbers. Tuesday, our numbers doubled. And those numbers stayed consistent all throughout the week. Kids were coming. And they're coming. Maybe they're coming because, hey, we get to go down this big inflatable water slide. That's cool. But they were getting ingrained. The parents were coming out, watching their kids go down the water slide, and the parents are hanging out together, talking with other staff members and other parents. Next thing you know, we see some of these people say, hey, these people seem to like our kids a lot. And they start showing up on Sunday morning. All because of a water slide. Now, actually, I meant to click this. I'm going to show you just some pictures of water slide. This is from last year. And that's Mickey right there. That's still Mickey. And more Mickey, and so that's Zia right there. But we've got some. We got a lot of kids who just that you would. It's so simple, and the kids just love going down this. And this last picture coming up here is one of my favorite ones. This next one right here, boom. And that's what it's all about right there. It's these big smiles on these faces, and we have fun with it. And we took that water slide, and we wore that water slide out. Okay, we got a couple years out of it, 2-3 years out of it. And quite frankly, it probably shouldn't have lasted that long, but we did everything we could. And we used it for way more than VBS, too. I mean, any opportunity is like, hey, I think we should have a water slide. Why? I don't know. It's snowing. And so we get it out there. But we used that water slide, and we would use it, and we would use it, and it got worn out to the point where there was it was pretty clear, it's not going to make it this VBS. When somebody like my daughter Katja, you've seen how small she is, when she gets on it and it starts to deflate, you know you got a problem, right? There's holes somewhere. And so we kind of put it out there saying, well, we really need to figure out a new water slide. I'm just going to say, one lady, she saw the vision of the water slide. She understood what the water slide was doing. Didn't have any kids who were coming to VBS. Didn't have even any grandkids coming to VBS. They were all much older than that. But she saw how important that was. And she came to me and says, Mike, I want to buy you a new water slide. But there's only one stipulation. What's that? It's got to be bigger. And so we got a bigger water slide. I know it seems crazy, but here's the deal. When you blow up a big water slide and put it out in your yard, people start to talk. People start to go, what's going on over there? And maybe, just maybe, what if we had a water slide, right? And I don't know, maybe we set it up on July 3rd. I know why July 3rd, because that's the day before 4th of July. 4th of July is Monday. Sunday, what if we had a little church picnic, a little church barbecue, something like that, and we put out the slide, and all of a sudden everybody in the community is going, hey, what's the slide? Come back July 11th. I mean, you can write it now, but come back July 11th, You got 5 more days. So are you ready for it? I mean, you know it's coming now, right? You're already whispering. I'm hearing it. He wants to buy a water slide. Yeah, I do. I want to buy a water slide. I do. And here's the thing. Water slides are expensive, but they're worth it. And it's not really about the water slide. It's about drawing kids in. It's about giving them an experience unlike anything else. Not the water slide. Jesus. I want to buy a water slide. I want to buy a big one. If you want to help us buy a water slide, you let me know. I'd really like to hear from you soon. So, speaking of help, we need your help in a lot of areas. It's not just about water slides, it's not about money, but we need help. There are a lot of positions to fill within VBS, and quite a few of the key ones are already taken. You're too late. Sorry. You gotta jump on board sooner. But today and today only, just for you, do I feel infomercially? No, we got a couple of key positions that you could jump into. Maybe you're thinking, I'd like to do games. I think that game thing, that sounds kind of cool, and you all do. And so I need a game leader still, okay? I need a game leader. Maybe you want to plug into there. I need that person who's going to be able to push the play button at Chatters Theater. Yeah, there's a little bit of talking that goes with it, but really the big, you know, if you can push play, you're our guy or gal. And so... I want you to know that those positions, but the positions that are seriously open, and again, what I believe is the most important position, it's those guides. And the more guides you have, the smaller the groups can be, the smaller the groups that can be, the more investing you can do, okay? I mean, I think the beautiful thing, if you had 3-4 kids in your group, that's like perfect, because you can totally invest in 3-4 kids all day long, okay? Now, if I only have 5 guides, and I get 100 kids, that's 20, yeah, that's too much. We need some guides. I've had lots of people get involved in VBS, people who thought they couldn't get involved. Men, right now, I'm talking to you and you alone. This is not just a woman's only job. If that thought even crossed your mind, erase it now, okay? Those little kids, they need you too, okay? And it's an opportunity there to invest. And I've had people who honestly have decided to take their vacation time so they can work VBS, okay? That's how important it has become to certain people. And so I want you to understand that those are all things. I want you to invest. I want you to grab a hold. I hope you see the vision of VBS and what it is, and what it can be, and how you can be involved. And that's really what it's about, okay? It's that it's about watching kids come to Jesus. So we need those kind of help. VBS is 9 a.m. to noon, so that means you show up a little bit before that and you leave a little bit after that. Okay, depending on how much you want to get involved, you can come a little bit before that and stay a whole lot longer after that. But it's 9 to noon. Okay, I know there are some people here, you're saying, I want to be involved, but I can't. You got all the true, honest, legit. You're not giving any excuses. I can't do that, Mike. So how can I be involved? We need prayer warriors. We need people to be praying and praying hard, not just during VBS, but right now. Be praying that these kids' hearts are softening to hear so that they become that soil that the seed takes. Right? We need to be praying that the community itself responds to it. We need to pray that we bring children to Jesus, because that's what it's about. So in closing, what I want to do is I want to share with you Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is the theme chapter for VBS this year. Again, the idea behind VBS is that God is wild about you. And so I want you to have that in the back of your head as we go through this. How wild is God about you? Because I think we see it. Because here it's the message we need to hear. There are a lot of people out there that think God is angry at them. For whatever reason, they think God's angry at them. And somewhere they've come to this conclusion that God's disappointed in them. And that's not true. It's not true. I mean, there might be things that we do that disappoint. There might be things that we do to anger. But God loves you so much, and he is so wild about you. And so let's look at David's words in Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Just like Psalm 131 there. Understand that David is saying, you, creator of the universe, love me so much, and you keep watch over everything I do. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. No matter where you go, no matter how far you think you've gone, you're not out of sight, you're not out of reach. Even in the darkest places, God's light is still bright. One pastor said it this way, that talking about walking in the light. A lot of times we think of walking in the light means that you're living a life without sin. No, walking in the light doesn't mean life without sinning. It means walking in the light means being aware of all that's around you. Wherever we go, he's there. And wherever he is, there's light. For you created, and most of you know these verses right here, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. God loves you so much. He knit you. He put you together. Understand that we share that with the children, that God made you. And he made you special. He didn't make you junk. He didn't make mistakes. He didn't make you all these things that the world wants to tell you that's wrong with you. No, he made you absolutely exactly the way you're supposed to be. And he's done this because he loves you. And I love it. At the very beginning of the psalm, it talks about my thoughts. My thoughts are on God. My thoughts are on God. And here in this chunk, we find out that God's thoughts are on us. How incredible is that? David takes a little darker turn here. If only you, God, would slay the wicked away from me, who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. And do not hate. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. And David's there, and he's crying out. He says, you know, these people make me so mad. And I've got something in my heart that it can only be described as hate. But David doesn't stop there. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there are any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I love that. He's like, everybody just makes me so mad because they don't understand who you are. And he says, Lord, would you just work on me in a way of everlasting? Jesus comes and he says, love your neighbors and love your enemies and love and love and love. And David's trying to seek that out. He's trying to figure that one out. You read these verses and you get this picture from David, this picture of how much he knows God loves him with wild, reckless abandonment. In small group, we're doing the prodigal God, and there are some people who had a real hard time with the name. In fact, we even had this discussion in our small group. You know, because prodigal God, that sounds weird. Because doesn't prodigal mean lost? Doesn't prodigal mean, no, it doesn't. And that's one of those things, we got to make sure we always know our definitions. And we've added two words. But if you look at the front cover prodigal God. You'll know this. This is what it what prodigal means. It's recklessly extravagant, having spent everything. And of course, in the story, we have a young son who goes out and he wastes everything. But the picture, as we go through the small group book, if you've been there long enough, you know that we have a God who's willing to spend everything to get to us. He's willing to do this with absolutely nothing holding him back. This is how I see VBS, spending everything. And I'm not talking about money. I'm just talking about everything we've got, giving it all, so that in just those few short hours, you're given the opportunity to share with the kids that God is wild about them, that he loves them so much. And after those few short hours, you can collapse in complete exhaustion. And you will. There'll be a moment where the adrenaline just suddenly just isn't there, and there is not enough Red Bull in the world to keep you going. But there's that moment that you just know you gave everything you could. And I got to tell you, there's no better feeling, none, than just giving everything you've got. VBS, not about the money. It's not about a water slide. It's not about pandas. It's about bringing children to Jesus. It's about letting them know that Jesus is saying, come. I hope that you come. I hope that you come to a point where you say, VBS has got to be the best week of those kids' lives. Until next year. Let's pray. Father God, I do thank you so much for this morning. Father, thank you so much for this time. And Father, I thank you for the opportunities that you give us. Father, I lift up Amanda to you, Lord, and just thinking of how she's reaching out to the younger people all the way on the other side of the world, Lord. And here we have the opportunity to reach young people here and even little ones, Lord. And Father, that you love them so much. Jesus didn't just come to die for those who can read the Bible, but Lord, he died for those who would hear the word. The Father, he didn't just come for a bunch of adults and a bunch of important people, but Lord, he came for the littlest, the weakest. And the Father, it's in those littlest and those weakest that we find the greatest amount of faith, that we find the greatest picture of your kingdom. And Father, I pray for our VBS. I pray for our time that, Lord, that we do not waste it, but Lord, that we take every single opportunity to invest. And that, Father God, that in that investment, Lord, that we would raise up, and bring up a new generation of the church, Lord. And that, Father, that they would know that how important it was to them that they, Lord, when they become the adults, they become the parents, they would know this is where their children need to be as well. Father, I do thank you so much for this time again. And Father, I do ask that today would be your day as we go out from here, Lord. And Father, I do pray for those that are here this morning, Lord, that perhaps they've thought that you're much too busy for them. And Father, I just ask that you would just gently whisper in their ear, come to me. Pray that in your son's name. Amen.